globally as a speaker, retreat facilitator, medium, and mentor. My mission is to awaken and realign you back to your magnificence, your power, and infinite potential. As the founder of the Rise with Love philosophy, I'm honored to share wisdom that will create the expansion of joy, abundance, love, and freedom to flow into your life. If you're ready, I want to hear you say yes, because the most wonderful things will unfold for you when you embark on the journey to rise with love. Let's get started. And welcome to a new episode. I feel so privileged to share in this journey as we evolve and rise with the power of love. I'm pretty excited for my special guest today, whose mission is to assist people to trust their inner voice as they navigate their own path. She is the founder of the Julian Method, the Goddess Collective. If you want to emerge as the goddess you came here to be, as you live your best life, then this is going to be one beautiful conversation. It brings me great pleasure to introduce you to the sassy, spirited Michelle Julian. Michelle, welcome. I'm so excited our paths have crossed and we get to co-create this time together.
Yay, it's me, Michelle Julian. Thank you so, so much for inviting me here to Rise to Love podcast. It's such a beautiful name.
We are so honored to have you. I think you're going to do something really special for us.
Yes. So what I want to do is kind of guide us through maybe like a 2 or 3 minute meditation just to kind of get grounded and centered and allow the universe to really just guide us through our podcast and let the audience kind of experience this universe guiding us, and so they can learn that they can do this too anytime when they choose to, especially now with all of the crazy noise that's out there. I wanted to do this for you and your audience. So let's start right away and let's just take a couple of deep breaths and get centered in your chair, or if you're laying down and you're listening, get comfy. Get your head in alignment. And we're gonna just take a couple of deep breaths in through our nose. And we're gonna count to about 5 or 6 as we breathe. 6 and exhale out for 5. Three, four, five. Inhale for 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, exhale out for 5. Let's do it one more time. Inhale for 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, exhale out for 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And now we're just gonna talk to our highest angels, our spirit guides, because they are our spiritual team. They're here all the time. They're witnessing what's happening in this world. And we're just going to allow them to guide us on our journey. And we're visualizing our spirit guides. They're our spirit team. They're always with us. And they're here sending you a message. In order for you to receive this message, you need to create this sacred container of awareness, of space. And how you do that is through the breath.
And as you breathe, you will hear your angel guide you for the rest of your day, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening. Thank you for listening.
Oh, I feel so good. Oh, I just felt, for me, my message was hope. There's so much hope. Just felt like my team was here and just putting so much love into my heart and just saying, it's all about the hope. We got to stay in that vibration. Thank you so much, Michelle. What I wanted to ask you is that I really believe the universe has a way of bringing people into our lives to take us to the next lesson or evolution. And I love your motto is that there are no accidents in life. How did this journey all begin for you?
Well, if we want to talk about the journey, we could talk about it when I was a little girl, or we can fast forward to right before I got married. So I think that people listening could take away is when I say there's no accidents in life, what I mean by that, it's staying open. It's having that curiosity like you're a child. Where my journey started was when I actually had a bicycle accident when I was 18. How that all happened for me and not to me. And what actually happened was I was riding my bike. I was a senior in college and it was a rainy day, November, wet leaves. It was election day, actually. Jimmy Carter was elected that day. So that was 1977. It was in this beautiful community. It's called Hingham, Massachusetts. Gorgeous water view. When I ride my bike, I would pass the ocean. And I was going up the hill and down the hill, just like I always do. And a friend of mine decided to kind of wave as I was going down the hill. And I kind of turned my head and waved. And then before I knew it, I was skidding on the wet leaves because it was November. Picture the wet leaves on the pavement. It's like ice. And I was going and I started slidding and I flew over the handlebars and slit my neck, my jugular vein by a carotid artery by a fingernail. And I should have been pronounced dead, but lucky for me, I actually was found by a person that decided to take the subway that day. And who knew? He found me and he called 911. I woke up in an ambulance with a priest standing over me. And I looked at him and said, oh my God, am I going to die? And he said, no, you just have a little cut in your neck. You're fine. 64 stitches later. My God, crazy land. So I woke up in the hospital and the nurse looked at me with this very perplexed look. And I looked at her and I said, can I walk? And she says, yes, you can walk. And I had a neck brace. And she said, I just want to warn you though, when you walk in the bathroom, she's like, you've got a broken nose and you're all kind of scuffed up from hitting, you know, whatever you had hit. I think you hit a tree. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I started really getting nervous. Like, God, am I going to be disfigured? So, because in the back of my mind, I was thinking, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to skate in the ice pads and try out for this lifelong dream since I was a little girl to be a professional skater for the ice capades. And so I went to the bathroom and I looked at my face and I saw that it was, you know, pretty much scuffed up, broken nose, whatever. But I just said, thank God I'm still alive. So it's quite a story to tell. My, transformational journey that I started when I was 18. But it really did help me realize that we don't have things all figured out. And that sometimes we have these things that happen for us to slow us down and really get clear on what is our purpose and where we're going. So really kind of the theme to the story is really about that I have this dream, I have the accident, now what was I gonna do? So it was all about really kind of figuring out and navigating how I had to really now up my game to strengthen my core and spend more hours training because this kind of set me back. And the good part of the story is that I actually did get in to skate for the Ice Capades as a professional skater with Dorothy Hamill.
I was going to ask, I was like, I want to know, did you make it?
Yes. Yes, I did. I did. I was so lucky. I really spent many, many hours training, got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then I would get up, you know, on the weekends and I'd work two jobs because, you know, my parents didn't really make a lot of money and I had to contribute towards all of the lessons and the skating time. So it was really, really an opportunity for me to really kind of see what I was made of. And I was really just so blessed that I actually got into the Ice Capades.
It's just phenomenal how we have these moments in our lives that kind of make us go within ourselves, like you just said, and reconnect and go, what is really the point of being here? And let's make something of it. What, I got chills. I have so much chills. I know there are so many people, especially that will be listening, that are like, I've had something like that happen to me. Not necessarily a bicycle accident, but we've all had moments in our lives where something has given us that wake-up call.
We have so many opportunities, really, to be awakened if we really are paying attention. And I think that's really kind of what's happening right now. We have an opportunity to go really inward and start reflecting really what's important because we're not being distracted anymore.
I believe we're probably in the most exciting time of humanity. I believe we've been waiting thousands of years for this to happen. And it is that mass awakening and that connection and just kind of leads me to my question I want to ask you, because your goddess collective, oh my gosh, I'm like, I want to be part of that. What does being a goddess mean to you?
It really means to listen to your inner voice, because we all have that inner voice inside of us, right? Not really being judgmental, being kind, being compassionate, and also realizing your strengths. And you kind of have to go through a journey to really kind of cultivate your understanding of your own goddess, depending on the age. I know in my 20s, I don't think I really ever saw, and that was during the time I had my accident, I didn't really see myself as a god. And then in my 30s, I was like head down, work, 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 and, you know, had really no time to even kind of do self-care per se, because I was a single parent and I had to support myself and my daughter. So I didn't really have that opportunity to really kind of create the space because there was no space. And then there comes the 40s and the 60s and beyond. And that's really when I started owning who I really was and what I wanted to contribute to, who I wanted to be with, to contribute with. And then that allowed me to really step in to who I needed to serve. And that's why I really have kind of created this Goddess Collective, because over the past 21 plus years as a wellness coach, being a very sought out massage therapist for so many years, I knew I needed to do something that was going to really help women shift into the next paradigm of their highest, wisest self. And that's why I birthed this Goddess Collective, actually really about I'd have to say 11 months ago when I met a coach who is just completely authentic in reference to her own message of helping women in a heartfelt way. Her name is actually Jesser Lynn. She used to be Hargrove, but now she is the Heartfelt Community. And I have learned so much from her. And I am so, so blessed the universe brought her to me.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Like I said before, the universe has a way of bringing people into our lives to either give us a lesson or part of our evolution. And I was called to actually birth the Rise with Love philosophy in 2019. And I think that's because of everything that's going on and this incredible energy that we are in now in the 5D ascension. And I feel like your message of the goddess being strength, I love that. You know, women, we are so, and men, because I'm not gender specific, but I think, you know, women, we have this incredible strength within us. And when we allow that to come out, oh my gosh, we are unstoppable. And I love that what you do with your work and taking us to that higher paradigm. Oh my gosh, you're talking my language. I love it so much.
It's so fun that we connected, because how we connected is through the universe. I see the online portal really as the digital universe that guides us and connects us. And a lot of people, you know, that are kind of doubtful about online and how is it really working. Oh, they're all watching me when I'm buying and who I'm talking to. So they're, you know, technically it's really not the universe, but I disagree, because I believe in the highest of our own selves. I believe that I have a spiritual team. My mother and father are part of my spiritual team, and they're always guiding me. They're always sending me messages. Do I always listen? No. Sometimes I get distracted. That's okay. But it's about cultivating the practice of coming back to what you know inside. And how do you do that? Is through basically creating the space and mindfulness. And that's really kind of how my husband, who I would call him the goddess, because he actually is the one who brought me to the next level of meditation. I was dibbling and dabbling it. He kind of like said, hey, let's go to this retreat. You know, we'll really be able to relax. And the good thing about it, you know, you don't have to do anything. You just sit there and relax. And I thought to myself, wow, that sounds beautiful. I can't wait to do that. Little did I know, sitting and relaxing is a hard thing to do when you're a workaholic and you're constantly being stimulated. So it really requires kind of like a jump start, an openness to really kind of get to that place where you create the space so you can have your breakthrough, so you can have your transformation. But first, you have to have some type of intense suffering, whether it's you get sick or whether maybe somebody dies in your family that's very close to you, or you might have an accident or something like a car accident, or maybe, you know, you leave your really favorite, you know, pair of eyeglasses at the store that costs like $300. Things like that will actually wake you up and say, wait a minute, what am I doing? You know, how did I lose my mind? Like, how did I forget to do XYZ? It's because you're not being in your body. You're not connecting your body and your mind, because you are allowing that distraction to take over. You're not really receiving the information that you need to receive to really kind of get the clarity of what is my purpose today? Why am I here today? Like, we all can do that. We can just stop and ask ourselves that question. So that's why I really am so passionate about what I'm creating here. And I'm so happy I met you, because I think we'll probably be friends forever.
Oh, I hope so. Because I feel so connected. I feel like we have the same kind of intentions, and oh, it's just so beautiful. I feel so blessed to have this time together and just keep delving in all of this so much more. Thank you so much. What I want to ask is, who do you think has been your greatest influence and mentor, and why might that be?
Well, you know, I have actually a lot of, I would say, influencers over my life because I am 61 years old. So I would have to say, you know, in my 20s, I looked up to Dorothy Hamill. I always wanted to be her. So I aspired to be a really good skater, and I got that opportunity to actually skate with her. So thank you, Dorothy Hamill, for pushing me to be kind of like the best version of myself in my 20s. And then I would have to say, kind of like in my 30s, I really kind of sunk into watching and listening to Oprah Winfrey. Because Oprah Winfrey, she really has taught us so much about the higher power and being brave and courageous and listening to your own inner voice. She actually started, I think, this whole paradigm of, you know, the higher power. And she would interview people that wrote The Secret. And then basically, we started to really realize, you know, oh, this manifestation, I think it's kind of real. If I, whatever I'm thinking, I'm attracting. So I think over the time of the 20s and 30s and now into, you know, the 40s and 60s, I really have to say, I look back in history at the women that have been just amazing to really kind of give us this amazing divine feminine strength. And I would have to say the woman I really, really just been in awe of, Gloria Steinem. She started a movement really connecting with other Black women that were already doing what she wanted to do. And she's still alive today. She's like in her 80s. So I would have to say I have a lot of people that I look up to, you know, not just one. It's hard to say just one.
It is. And I remember Oprah came to New Zealand in 2015 and she was just phenomenal. I wrote a blog about it by what I got from her talk when she did her worldwide tour. And I was so moved by it that I actually got two sentences tattooed on my body that she shared the verse from Invictus. And the last two lines, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul, that resonated so much with me and it stayed with me for years that I've actually got that tattooed on my body and I hope to share that with Oprah one day. So Oprah, if you're listening, I'd love to tell you about my tattoo.
That's so funny. One of my dreams is, and I share this with all of my coaches and they love it and you'll love it too, is I want to be interviewed on her Soul Summit radio channel. And it's her, Oprah Winfrey, and what I want to do is like a competition with Ellen DeGeneres because I actually think I'm funnier than her.
Well, you know, what you put out there to the universe comes back. By law, the universe answers every question. So you just never know, honey. We could be manifesting some really good things here. You help a lot of women to emerge into their potential. That must be really rewarding. What do you think holds most women back?
I think what holds women back is comparison. Comparing themselves to other women similar in age, potentially, or maybe even just, you know, in general. In their world, like let's say, for instance, if someone is a coach that's listening and they start thinking, well, I'm a spiritual coach, but you know, I can't be as great as a Gabby Bernstein. So they think, what's the point? So I think listening to that voice is what limits you from really stepping in to your own brilliance, because Gabby Bernstein would tell you, that's just your ego getting in the way to keep you safe. So don't listen to your ego. Listen to your inner voice, which is really coming from your heart. It's coming from love. And you know all about love, right? Rise to love. So we all need to rise our own consciousness to our own love and come from that place, that will open everything up.
You're so right, Michelle. When we compare, we're robbing ourselves of our joy, our potential, and that's not really going into our goddess energy, is it?
No.
Because goddesses rise each other up.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And that's why I think Gloria Steinem was such a powerful woman, because she allowed the other women to help her rise up her movement. And it's really what's required now. We're in a new paradigm. It's not just one person taking care of another person. It's got to be a community. It's got to be a collective. If you think you can do this all by yourself, you're going to burn out and you're not going to rise up. You're not going to listen to your inner voice. You're going to just crawl back into a corner or maybe pull the blanket over your head and say, I can't do this. It's just too much. So you really got to take that time and figure out who you want to align yourself with, how you can create a community. It doesn't have to be huge. You can start small in your local area. Like, I mean, we got to get back to the roots. That's really what we need to do. Get back to the roots of sharing, listening, and collaborating.
Yeah, they say, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And we are definitely shifting from the I am to, you know, we are one energy back to being that collective, like you say. So it's really exciting to see someone like yourself really being part of that movement. It really excites me that you're doing this incredible work in the world. And, you know, you say that the Julian method starts with gratitude, which is great because I actually have a podcast called That. It all begins with gratitude. So I believe that too. So we are so vibing, my friend. And I'd love for you to elaborate on why that is the first step.
Well, because if you are not thankful for what you have, what you've experienced, how can you receive more of that in your life? Really, how can you do that if you're not thankful? It doesn't have to be complicated. It could be like the simplest things that you can be grateful for, like being able to wake up at a certain time of the day, or being able to just walk outside and get on the bus, you know what I mean? Like, and actually go into a supermarket and buy an amazing organic orange. Now, things like that, that you kind of almost sometimes take for granted that you have these things, right? Or you have this experience, you have this life. We are so abundant.
We totally are. And I talk about that in that particular podcast. Like you say, if you can't be grateful for what you have right now, when you have more, you still won't be grateful. And it's about seeing things that we take for granted. It's moving, like you said, to actually seeing them as a blessing.
Absolutely. Gratitude simultaneously with the idea that I can be grateful and therefore I can also be more giving, because I think gratitude and generosity comes hand in hand. I feel like sometimes people can get very constricted and hold on to the things that they have or don't want to share. The things that they have because they're afraid they'll lose something. But it's actually opposite of that.
I fully agree. Oh my gosh. I love that. You also talk about having a healthy mindset, which I'm all about. So what are the tools you share with your clients when their mindset goes a little bit into sabotage?
Well, the number one thing is meditation. Meditation is the key and the secret to everything. And the reason why I know that is because I've experienced it. It's transformed me to really be the person that I am now, to be able to actually even have the bravery to come on to a podcast and talk my truth, as I would call it. And basically, if you're not working with your mind in a space where you nurture it and have compassion, then you really won't be successful because you're back in that mode of comparing and looking at outside of yourself instead of really looking within where you have your inner knowing and working with your mind and creating that space. It allows you to get that clarity. And then once you're clear, you know what you need to do.
I love it. I did a course with Michael Beckwith, which I just love. He was part of The Secret. And he talks about how meditation is the key to everything as well. And he refers to it as a shower for your mind. So we take a shower for our body, and a meditation is the shower for the mind. And, you know, imagine you're like me in the line of work that you do. People are like, I don't have time to meditate. I don't know what to do. And it's just like you did in the beginning. Just breathe. Start with breathing.
Yes. Breathing, shutting off the stimulation. I love to meditate outside in nature. That's like my favorite place. Because that way, I mean, yeah, I have my phone sometimes, but I can shut it off or I can keep it in my pocket just in case someone needs me. But nobody really needs me. It's not like I'm the president of the United States and I need to decide whether we're going to go to war or not. Right? I'm just this human being that, you know, is on the planet Earth. So why not unplug your phone? So I go out in nature and I find like watching the trees, it brings me back to my soul. And watching the birds or looking up at the sky or seeing the sun, feeling the warmth, all of those things, nature connects us to who we really are.
I absolutely agree 100%. Nature is such a reminder when the chaos is going on that actually that is just a perception. That's not reality. Nature is in flow. Nature is evolving. And if we can take a step back and, like you say, just look up at the sky and look at the trees, we realize that this reality we've created, we need to shift that and go back to what we truly are. And I love that you say nature reminds us of who we are inside.
Yes. Yes. Your face is getting flush as you're talking about it.
I'm passionate about the stuff just like you are.
You actually are glowing as you're talking about it. It's warming me as you glow.
Oh, I'm just picturing myself, you know, looking at the clouds and I'm just like, oh, you instantly feel, even if you just close your eyes and you think of that, you just instantly feel this peace and this calm. And if you haven't started meditation before, start with things like that. It's going to make such a huge difference into your life rather than just keeping busy. And yes. Unplugging. You talk about unplugging. Actually turn the phone off. Go and have some you time rather than always being available.
Do the do not disturb. Because you know what? Like again, we don't need to know that we got an email. I don't know why we're all addicted to that. I think it just happened without us even knowing. Your life can start just kind of being a certain way where you're just doing, and there's no space to say, is this something that I really want to be doing?
Yeah. Become so dependent on this kind of stuff. And we get caught in this, I believe, this limiting way of doing things, because then we're so like, you know, we have to get up, we have to check our Facebook and emails and Instagram and what's going on. And actually none of that matters. None of that matters. If you actually, this is what I do in the morning. I get up and I serve me first. I serve me first. I meditate. I do my gratitudes. And then I can go and look what's going on in the world. But I feel like if I start the day by serving me first, I'm at a higher vibration rather than, oh, Facebook, someone's doing this, or an email about you need to do that. And then that lowers, I feel, my energy. I do. I feel like, you know, unplug, except listen to the Rise with Love podcast. You also talk about the importance that we embrace our divine feminine. So why is that?
Because the divine feminine is the power. It's the power. It's that inner knowing that allows us to go to the next level of our truth. And the truth sets us free. You don't have to worry anymore about what people think or what people say, because you know your truth. You know your inner power. And not having that connection with the feminine, because my husband, he's very male, but he's also very connected to his femininity. I think it's from the meditation. He started when he was 16 years old. And it's all about really allowing all of those thoughts and ideas and constructs of this is how I'm supposed to be, and this is what I was taught how to be, and now I'm going to be this way because maybe so-and-so who I look to or look up to told me to be this way. That's not your divine feminine. Your divine feminine is the higher self of your truth of what you were born at your soul level, okay? That's divine feminine. A lot of people get confused about the divine feminine. They think it has to do with being a woman and not a man, but actually your masculinity and your femininity come together in that divine state, your strength and your softness. If you can have strength and softness, so you're strong, but you're also really vibrant, there's your divine femininity.
The law of gender, there is 12 laws of the universe, and the law of gender actually talks about how everything has a feminine and masculine energy, and we must find the perfect balance within ourselves of those two energies. So I agree when you say, you know, men can also have their feminine energy. Well, we're all energy. Every single one of us is energy. And we do have that feminine and masculine. And I love how you talk about we have this power inside of ourselves. And I see so many people in my line of work, Michelle, that are afraid of that power.
Yes, yes, because they're afraid that they might upset. They might upset the apple cart or the status quo of how you are supposed to be. And, you know, how you're supposed to express yourself. And it's happened, I think, really unconsciously. But I think with the Me Too movement, even though the Me Too movement has been here way before the last 5 or 6 years, I mean, like I said, Gloria Steinem, I mean, they were doing the Me Too movement back in the 60s, okay? But then what happened was, women actually became more masculine because we had to because we were not being heard. So we had to step into that energy of masculinity so people would start paying attention to us. And I can give you a perfect example of that. When I was in business in my 30s, I actually had a blazer. And I would wear an actual tie, like a bow tie sometimes, just so when I went on my calls, they would kind of view me as professional because, you know, here I had my suit on with the bow tie, kind of like a guy, but not like a guy, kind of bow tie, kind of a little feminine, but not too feminine, right? Because I wanted to be heard. I wanted to be respected. But you know what? We don't need to do that anymore. We can wear whatever we want to wear and they have to still listen because now we're qualified. We have the degrees. Oh my God, women, especially here in Boston, we're all about our degrees, okay? And all about our continuing education and all about our personal development. And we all have psychiatrists and gurus. We are so tuned in now to being powerful without having to look and act like an energetic man.
It's so important to embrace that. You know, we did. I believe your generation and my, you know, my mum's generation did so much for women to be where we are now in terms of shifting that paradigm from having to embody that real masculine to being that feminine energy. And I feel that's men being more authentic without having to have that paradigm of the tough and, you know, be the provider. And it's going to really bring such a beautiful equality of, well, what's your strength? What's your passion? Bring that to the surface rather than this paradigm of this is what a man does, this is what a woman does. So you talk about people trusting their own call within themselves. How can we identify what that call is?
Oh, well, it's something that just doesn't happen like overnight. You know, sometimes it can for people. Some people can be born with a knowing. Like I have a few, you know, friends over the years that said, you know, I always knew I was going to be a doctor, or I always knew that I was an artist. Those people are actually more rare than most of us. We don't really have a clue what our calling is. So I think it's about, again, being kind of curious and stepping back at looking at what does keep you awake at night. In some ways, it's the things that kind of stir you up and get you fired up inside. And then you start thinking, how can I be helpful? How could I show up and maybe serve or share something that I know could make a difference in someone's life? Whether it's like a simple thing, like let's say you were thinking, oh my God, I'm watching the elderly right now suffer. They don't have any connection. They have to talk to people through glass doors. I mean, that in itself could keep you awake at night saying, those poor people that don't even have that connection anymore, what can I do? So maybe you might have an answer or an idea of what you could do to create something for the elderly to actually receive a connection, you know, whether you could say, hey, I could teach somebody how to take their phone and do like FaceTime so they could feel like they're actually talking to me. And, you know, that could just warm their heart. You just have to kind of stay in tune to kind of what keeps you thinking about how you can be helpful and what you can do to make a difference in people's lives. So that's my kind of, I guess, two cents I would give, you know, most of my clients, like what is burning inside of you. And sometimes people are so distracted, they don't really even know what is burning them because they're too busy just doing their work and getting through the day. So that's why I always say it's all about meditation, coming back to the quiet and the space so you can start figuring out, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And start looking at your life kind of like as a circle in different categories. It's like, okay, this is my work, this is my family, these are the activities I do. And then start really kind of looking at it in a much more open space with that breathing and awareness and doing a lot of visualization. I do a lot of visualization guided meditations with pretty much all of my clients.
I think what you said was so right. We have a call inside of us. And I think sometimes people think it has to be like this global thing, but you don't go to having this global calling in just one moment. You have to be part of the journey of making that happen if it is going to be global. So you're right, just starting with what can I do in my immediate community or my family, or starting there and letting it grow from that. You know, I think sometimes when we go, I have a calling, I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in the world, you know? And it's like, start with what you can do right here.
Simple things. I mean, some people will say to me, you know, what is your passion? What is your mission? My vision is my passion, right? I decided that I can see things more clearly because I've been through 4 near-death experiences, not just one, but 4. And I'm not going to get into all of them today. When you've had that many near-death experiences, you really, really have to kind of like get out of your own way. You know, stop comparing, stop judging yourself, shame yourself. Women, I have to say, are the worst when it comes to this energy. I think Brené Brown, she is phenomenal in helping women, and women especially in business that work in the workforce, that comparing and shaming and blaming, it's not really helpful.
No. And this leads me to my question. You ignite so many goddesses around the world. And what do you think is the biggest challenge that comes with igniting these women?
Well, you know, I can get burnt out because I take on the energy of whatever's going on with the universe. I'm an empath. And so I have to myself practice what I teach, which is unplugging and actually creating the space that I need for my own inner knowing and for me to guide other women or men to their own sacred journey. So if I'm not practicing those tools myself on a consistent basis, and I'm not just talking about meditation, I'm also talking about my physical body as well, making sure that I'm strengthening my body, that I'm working on my core, that I'm doing my yoga that I've created for my body, especially in the last couple of years, because as you age, you are going to get more stiff. I don't care what anyone says to you, you're going to age. You can slow down the process, but you are going to age. So when you're in your 30s, you just don't feel any of these restrictions that you start to feel when you get into 55 plus. And I have clients that I've worked with that are in their 70s. So they actually helped me create their own yoga sessions so I can help them always be feeling vibrant in their body. Because it's really about meditation, stretching, and then of course, eating, drinking. I constantly doing the whole hydration thing because it's real. It's really real. It's not just like people think, you know, what is this water thing? It's really real. It actually works. So I think that, you know, if I'm not doing all the things that I teach other people, then that's when I can start feeling depleted and I'm not able to help other people. So it's really about putting your own oxygen mask on so you can help others. And I think right now it's a hard, hard, intense energy because of what's happening.
Yeah, I agree. You've got to put your own oxygen mask on first. And I think a lot of women would be putting everyone else's oxygen mask, the plane crashes, and then you're it. And that's why I say to my clients, because I see them as women, we're so taught to be the carer and the nurturer. And, you know, I see it with my one-year-old, you know, she plays with her dollies and it's like about serving other people first. And it's like, actually, we've got to serve ourselves first. So Michelle, why is this work really important to you?
I would say the reason why it's important to me is because I really believe it. I actually really believe my work can change and transform women and men if they want. I mean, man, woman, whatever they are. I believe that it can make a difference and they can feel better in their bodies by using these techniques, these methods, gratitude, the divine femininity, and the healthy mindset, using these powerful, I would call them like, I would actually call them methods, the methods to our madness, because our madness is real right now.
Yeah, that's so empowering to hear. I love the work that you're doing, Michelle. And where can people find you? How can they connect with you? I will link it anyway. Where can we find you?
Sure. I have a couple of ways that you can get a hold of me. I'm on Instagram, so I'm at Julian Method. And also you can find me on Facebook at Julian Method. My actual website is called juliangoddesscoaching.com. So you can find me there as well. You can jump on the calendar and have a tea chat with me for 30 minutes. I do that complimentary so you can get to know me. I'm kind of old school that way. I want to talk to you first before we actually work together. Usually anyone that I've ever worked with on a deep level of transformation, they've worked with me a couple of times via Zoom or even come to my office.
Look, Michelle, it's been such an incredible time together. Thank you so much for what you've shared and the beautiful work that you do for humanity. I feel so blessed that you are out there and empowering women, and that will have the most incredible ripple effect. I feel just keep doing what you do and the wisdom and the insight that you have given us a glimpse into. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for having me here. I would love to ask you a question. How can I help you?
Are you asking me as in Melissa or the world?
How can I help you, you and your audience, the Rise to Love podcast?
I think you have. I think you've done a phenomenal job of reminding us of who we truly are, Michelle. And sometimes you're right, we get so caught up, and I feel really emotional about it. Sometimes we just get so caught up in what we have to do, and actually we don't have to do any of it. No one is telling us we have to do this. We put this expectation and this responsibility on ourselves, and we've lost touch with who we are. And that's why I believe your work is so important, is you remind us of our true essence. And I feel that. I feel it today. I'm like, oh, Melissa, you know, you've forgotten a little bit about this goddess that is inside of you. And now I'm going to, you know, feel like I want to wear something really floaty because that makes me feel like a goddess. So that's what I'm going to do today. But you have, you've served us in the most beautiful way.
Thank you so, so much for having me here.
Oh, I just feel so honored. So thank you for blessing us with...
Thank you.
With you. Oh.
Did it.
We did. So I just want to say to everyone, I feel so empowered right now to embrace my inner goddess, and I hope that you are too. This is a great time for you, and my greatest wish is that you let the wonderful things unfold as you rise with love. Thank you, Michelle, and to everyone listening. Until next time, everybody, peace, love, and blessings. Melissa.